American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more, right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Welcome to the latest episode of The Player's Voice, where this week we are joined by Downs Fionnuala Carr. My name is Alan O'Mara. I'm the host of this podcast, a former Cavan goalkeeper, and a performance and well-being consultant with sports and business leaders around the world. During this chat, Fionnuala opens up about the highs and lows of running her own business, Marval Power. She talks about applying the next ball mentality she learned in sport to business, as well as dealing with self-doubt and building confidence. We also chatted about retiring from the intercounty game, the positive role Clonduff GA Club plays in her life, and becoming a mother for the first time. The Player's Voice is brought to you by the Gaelic Players Association in collaboration with Real Talks. The podcast series is part of Bio 360, a GPA programme that empowers intercounty players across four key areas: life skills, well-being, dual career and transitions. Please go to bio360.gaelicplayers.com to learn more. That's BEO360.gaelicplayers.com to learn more. But for now, please enjoy this episode of The Player's Voice with Fionnuala Carr. Fionnuala Carr, you're very welcome to The Player's Voice. Thanks very much for joining us. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Alan. Thank you very much for having me on.
No, a real pleasure. Thanks so much for taking the time out of your schedule and for making the time to do this. To kick us off, Fionnuala, I was just going to start with, I know recently you were at the GPA Business Forum as a guest speaker, and I know your life has been changing and evolving away from the field in recent years. So to start, I was going to say, how was that experience? Kind of what was happening on the day? What were you talking about? And what were kind of some of those lessons you were sharing with those who were present?
Intimidating was probably the first thing. My brother-in-law, Aaron Graffin, works for the GPA. So he had asked me just would I come in and chat about the business that I had set up and probably the journey that the first 5 years had taken us on. And I just wanted to try and tell anybody in the room who was maybe at the start of setting up a business or was thinking of setting up the business that to give them a bit of confidence or reassurance that it's an okay thing to do, because sometimes we're our biggest doubters. You know, if you told me that you were going and setting up a business, I'd be like, brilliant, go for it, well done you. Whereas if it's ourselves, sometimes we're like, why would you do that? Like, what do you know about business? Sit back down, you know, that type of thing. So it was probably just to give the people in the room, like just a normal person setting up a business, and that I can be done.
And what was there? Did you get any feedback afterwards? Kind of, did you get to interact with current players that are there or that were there or that are, you know, at different stages or the beginnings of that journey? Did you have any interaction with those on the day?
We didn't, because after they were doing it as part of a day. So I didn't get to chat to anybody that was maybe in the audience. Say I did get to chat to the two guys, Niall and Dean, and I found their stories really interesting. Both very different businesses, but both really interesting stories and how they came about it. And then I just got a bit of feedback from Aaron, who thanked me very much and said it went really well and they're very delighted. So I'm hoping it'll be the first of many GPA business forums.
Brilliant. Yeah, like for anyone listening there, I'm pretty sure that was Niall McNamee and Dean Siney, who've both already been on the Player's Voice podcast with us. So you're the last of the set. So glad to have you today from the three of you. And I suppose you mentioned the word confidence there, Fionnuala. So kind of taking that word and maybe digging into that, what gave you the confidence to branch out on your own in terms of your business? And maybe give us a flavour of what it is that you're doing and where it came from.
So whenever I set up the business, I was working in a company called Panda Waste in Dublin. And we got an opportunity whereby it was installing LED lights and doing LED light retrofits with the primary aim of helping customers and end users reduce their electricity bills. Along the way of that journey, we hired different people in to work in the business and to grow it. And along that way, we met someone who had asked us if we were, had we done solar, are we interested in solar? And at that stage, we hadn't, you know, four years ago, solar was still probably quite new in the Irish market. It was a big industry, but it worldwide, but in Ireland, it was quite small. And we took a look at it and we said we'd give it a go. And we got our first two jobs in the solar, and then COVID happened. So that kind of made us, you know, I was supposed to leave Panda. So I continued to stay in Panda whenever the business was in its infancy and growing. And then I was due to leave Panda, or I planned to hand in my notice in the early start of 2020, I think it was. But the pandemic happened, and with the uncertainty in the market and, you know, customers, the solar projects that we do are high-end projects, so there is a lot of capital investment involved. And the customers then didn't really want to release high-end capital expenditure for projects like solar because, you know, people were so unsure of the global markets. And that delayed me in leaving Panda. So sort of tipped along and was trying to do both and not really doing both. And that's one of the lessons that I've learned is, you know, it is my business, so it's my responsibility, and you can't rely on other people to have the same even passion or will for it to work as you do. I left Panda then end of 2020 and moved full-time into the business then. And it was good. The solar started to kick off in Ireland. Energy prices started to increase. The technology improved and prices came down. So payback periods for the solar panel projects, they were in around 5-6 years, whereas before they could have been 7, 8, 9, 10 years. So payback started to come down, and energy and climate change started to become one of the main talking points in the news. So it sort of coincided, and it went quite well from then.
So obviously, like, as I'm listening to you there then, Fionnuala, so like, you obviously spot a gap in the market or an opportunity for, or a space that you can have an impact in. Talk to me then a little bit about the actual moment, as you said, when you leave your full-time job, the safety net, the kind of money coming in every month, and kind of all those more traditional work, things that come with working the more traditional way, to then branch out and go with it. Like, I'm sure during those months, there's multiple both internal conversations and external conversations of like, am I mad? Should I be doing this? Should I like stay in my lane? Should I stay in my box? Actually, no, I should go. Talk to me a little bit of kind of, I suppose, the messiness of that process. You still have?
Am I mad? What am I doing?
Yeah.
I fully believed in the business, and I believed that we could make it work. So my business partner is also my partner, Derek. Derek, he has a very busy job on the commercial in industry. So I knew with his guidance that I would be able to at least make a go of it. And I think the biggest thing was, I asked myself, if you don't try it and it fails, what are you going to regret more? Not trying it at all, or trying and failing, and, you know, at least you put yourself out there a bit. So I asked myself that question, and I decided it was worth at least the chance. I continued to have those conversations, as I said, because, you know, it brings its own stress, and it brings its own sort of work life balance thing into complete question. There is very little work life balance, and there's very little like downtime. But I always believed that if the business was given an opportunity, that it would work. I was probably naive in that hard work just isn't enough. You know, you can be a busy fool, so you have to work a wee bit smarter as well. One of my strengths at the time is that I can see weaknesses and see what the business needs. that is a strength and also a weakness, because that sometimes leads me to doubt myself, and I would nearly like overreach trying to go by what someone else says or get advice from someone else simply because I didn't trust myself or back myself. And then just along the way, I learned that it's good to have people to go to for advice, but there's also a lot of people who will give you advice on what you should be doing and how you should be doing it. But those same people might have never done it or tried to do it in the past. So I was very, I did speak to different people about the business, showed them a business plan, and took it from there really. And yeah, you've got something there, go make it work. We did get offers for someone to come in as like an investor or to buy a bit of the business, and we didn't take it because it probably wasn't ready for that then, and we would have been, maybe looking back, if we had done it then, we would have been underselling. So we kept going, and thankfully in the last probably 12 to 18 months the business has gone really, really well. We have done fantastic projects, we get great referrals, and we get good feedback from our customers. The industry is very busy. Russia then put so much uncertainty in the energy market that prices increased, and suddenly it became a really big thing that people were really looking at and starting to take serious. And we find in the last 12 months that while the process for a high-end solar ticket can be long, you know, they are, it is rewarded, and people are making decisions to go solar. So it's sort of all tied in, and I got a wee bit lucky at the time in the timings, but I had to persevere for a long time to get to that stage. So it's been brilliant, but it has also been quite tough.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, like that overview. And I think whenever I'm lucky enough to sit down with like an entrepreneur or someone who's started their own business, like it's always such an important point to cover of, because it's easy for me to sit over here and say, hey, you set that up, you're doing great, isn't that brilliant, fair play to you. But like the challenges, and you kind of alluded to there, like those doubts that come along the way, and it's absolutely normal to have those moments where you think, oh my God, what am I doing? Or honestly, probably have thoughts about quitting or going back to the nest or to like a safer space. And you said there then, that like maybe you got a little lucky, but obviously luck comes around when you've got to be in the game, you know. In terms of, so you mentioned there, Fionnuala, like the couple of external factors that kicked in, has it surprised you then in terms of like, in terms of growth or scale or the last 12 to 18 months, how well things have started to go, or are you on track as kind of in terms of what you were hoping for?
It has taken me by surprise. Probably at the start, the size and scale of the jobs and the money figures that were being talked about. Whenever I worked in Panda, I would have looked after large contracts and big customers that would have spent, you know, large amounts of money. That was based over a year's contract, whereas sometimes the projects that we were doing, it was so important to just focus on the job at hand. And I always go back to sport. You know, a lot of my analogies and what I, if I'm having sort of hard days or good days, whatever days, I always go back to sport. But if it's a good day, don't get too carried away because you're only as good as your last job. If it's a bad day, you know, it's not perfect. You get setbacks. You dealt with setbacks in the past. You don't stop and you don't give in. You don't quit. You don't feel sorry for yourself and just go, I'm going to give in here. It was important for me not to think about the size of the job involved and the value of the contract in money terms, and just think of it as it's near enough the exact same process, the exact same, you know, thing that you're selling. There's just more panels. There's just maybe, you know, four inverters instead of one inverter. And I learned that probably, it was actually another gentleman, Stan, who's a business partner as well. He said, just, you know, don't get caught up in the value of them. Just, you know, we'll just do the jobs and do them well.
Yes, like you're saying as well, like not getting distracted by like the scalability of something. It's still just focusing on the thing of what it is and doing it and planning and the execution of it, rather than the, I suppose, the pressure that comes with scalability or larger scale things. Is that kind of what you're saying there?
Yeah, exactly. So it doesn't matter if it's going to be like a smaller job, if you have 50 panels to go on a roof, or you have 1,000 panels to go on a roof, it'll take you more days to get the panels on the roof. You still have to have all your ducks in order and your boxes ticked on how the panels get there and get up. But, you know, it's going to take, 4 weeks instead of 2 days. So it's the same thing as what you're doing in the first 2 days as you're doing in the last 2 days of the 4 weeks of being there.
And then as I was listening to you there, I know you kind of mentioned some of the lessons that came from sport that helped guide you and help you kind of, it's almost like a focus on the next ball kind of mentality rather than, we're losing by 10 points here. What are we going to do? That's what jumped out to me as I was listening to you. But then also, like, I was curious, did you always kind of have that entrepreneurial spirit in you, or that desire or want to go this path? Or is it something that just popped up later in life and you backed yourself? Kind of what was the background to you and kind of you then taking this kind of the road less traveled for yourself?
I never had a business idea that I really wanted to run with. I always wanted to do well in my career and work in the commercial environment, whether that be, I worked in property for a while and then I worked in the waste industry, and I always wanted to keep being career driven. So the opportunity for the business came along, and I'd been in Panda at that stage probably 5 or 6 years, and I knew that, it was probably timing. Are you going to do it? Are you going to stay in Panda and try and get to the next level? But whenever I was in Panda, it wasn't very structured. So, there wasn't the tiers in the same corporate environment as there is now. And I just was like, if I don't try it, I'll regret it. And if it fails, it fails. Because when I go back to the sport there, you go out to win the championship every year. You don't always win the championship, but you don't regret making the effort to do it or to get into the semi-final, or, if you get into a final and get beaten in the final.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Somebody said you'll be in this position next year. No, that's okay. Eventually, if you keep knocking the door, you'll get over it.
Yeah, because I think as well, as I'm listening to you there, obviously, if you're outcome focused, and we'll stick with the championship kind of metaphor, if you win, it's all great, and if you lose, it's all terrible. Like, life and sport's not really like that, and along any journey, there's lessons to be learned and memories to be created, and you get to push yourself and flesh yourself out in different ways. And like, it had me thinking there as you bounced then from kind of, yes, I hear you in terms of focused on your career, comfortable in the corporate world and climbing that world, but then going out on your own and pursuing a business, pursuing a startup and building something from the bottom up. Talk to me a little bit about kind of, I don't know whether it's the burden of leadership that you found, or I know you touched upon it earlier, those kind of work-life challenges. Talk to me a little bit about those, Fionnuala, in terms of, because listen, I know people will be listening at various stages of setting up a business or having their own business, or maybe thinking about it, or haven't even started thinking about it yet, but they're in work and they're just kind of curious. Talk to me a little bit about those two things. So the burden of leadership and I suppose the challenges that's brought to your work-life balance for yourself.
The leadership part at the start was a wee bit different because there was only really myself in the company and growing it. The team has got bigger as we've gone along. So I probably struggled more with leadership in business than I did with leadership in sport. And that was because there was also the fear of it failing. Whenever I was playing sport, one of my probably strongest points was communication and talking to people around us on the pitch and, encouraging them and guiding them and helping them through a game and not to panic when things are going well and to push on when things are going well. I struggled with that in business because I didn't communicate as well, and I think that was a lack of confidence in myself and also a bit of fear of failure and panic. the work-life balance thing, probably not the best person to answer that because I'm still juggling it all myself.
Makes you one of the best people to answer it.
I do think downtime, whatever it is that works for you, I would be big on walking. We got a dog at the end of, just after we had won the All-Ireland in 2020. So we got a dog and I made sure to get out for a walk every day. Fresh air, get out for a walk. Probably learned to offload more and talk about the pressure of the business and the doubts that I had. And, you know, just talking about it, it helps as well. Derek was brilliant for that and so were my family. I remember my dad and I said, and he's like, I says, I just can't switch off from him. Like, I just can't get away from him. And he's like, well, why not? Like, and he was so simple. And yeah. It was just, why not? Like, what is going to happen or what are you going to do? And he wasn't really entertaining me thing, and this all consumed, no, it's so important and I'm so busy. Whereas he just put it into, he's like, well, why not? Like, so he put it really simply for me. I also kept up with the sport. So even though the business was getting busier, I still took my time to make sure that I went and trained and went to Camogie and used it as my social aspect as well, and getting out of the house. I was still working from home with the COVID and everything going on, and getting out of the house and just talking to other people. I think that's the work-life thing when you have a business, is that your days generally do be longer. You know, you don't just get to come home in the evening and just switch off. And if I have to work some nights till 11 o'clock and I don't work, say, from the hours of 7 to 9:30 because of my training, I'll still go back and do my work and whatever I need to do, finish at 11. And I've learned along the way to stop putting as much pressure on myself when things aren't going as well as they should be going, or as I don't feel they should be going, and to stop panicking a wee bit about it. It, you know, it's, things are going to happen and it's how you deal with them. You know, there's been times along the way where, I think we talked about it earlier, saying, what am I doing? Like, why am I doing this? But there was never a point in that I wanted to quit or give up. So I've learned to manage the switching off better, and that when I switch off now, I switch off, I read a lot of books, and it's, you know, it's books that don't really require a lot of thought. Mm-hmm. It might be an old rom-com, just feel good switching off, or it might be one of those, you know, murder mystery detective ones, but I do read a lot of books. And
you're purposely not reading books like leadership or entrepreneurship or how to start up at 100 day. You're purposely trying to create that space for yourself.
I used to listen to a lot of those high performance podcasts and The Diary of a CEO and those things. Mm-hmm. And I've made a conscious effort to stop doing it because it can add to the pressure. One of the best podcasts I ever listened to was with a guy called Nims Persia, and it was on really mindset. And he had climbed Everest, and, you know, climbing Everest, you know, can be life or death. And someone had stolen his backpack, and he chose to think of it as, well, someone needed that backpack more than me. So how you frame your mind and perspective, and how you respond to things is all to do with your mindset.
And, like, to that point then with mindset, and, like, as I'm listening to you there talking about kind of, because sometimes I suppose when we talk about work-life balance, people are either trying to look for a silver bullet, or sometimes people are trying to sell you a silver bullet. But as I'm listening to you there, Fionnuala, it's more just around kind of basic decisions that you're making and conscious decisions to give yourself space. And I suppose to keep repeating those things, like the reading one is a good example, the walking one, but just also giving yourself permission then to not be all consumed. And I know you go back to what your dad said, like, why not? But just giving yourself the freedom to actually have that time to yourself. Is that kind of what you're touching upon here?
Yeah. And whatever works for you. So, you know, some of those podcasts will tell you, you need to do this and you need to do this and you need to do this. You don't need to do anything other than what is best for you. So if best for you is turning off your laptop at 4 o'clock and going for a walk, or walking down to a coffee shop and having a coffee, or if it's going and spending some time with family or whatever it is, or if it's going to the gym, whatever it is, whatever works for you is what you should do for your downtime. And that's not what someone says what they have done on a podcast. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely.
And that's right. I made a conscious effort not to get too involved in them. I just did my own thing, really.
No, I think that's such an important point. To some degree, it's almost like stumbling across the right formula for yourself. And there's a bit of trial and error to that. And, you know, I often say to people, like, go and try something. And if you like it and it works for you, great. And if you don't, well, so like you gave up an hour of your time or whatever it is, you know, and you don't have to do it again, but just to try it and to kind of flesh things out a little bit. So that's kind of on the work-life balance side of things. And if I was going to throw it back to you as well, we talked about the confidence and the leadership earlier, and you kind of described the sense of maybe being very comfortable as a communicator on the field or dealing with people, but kind of feeling a little more within yourself or within your shell on the business perspective. So talk to me a little bit of kind of how you then like work your way through that, and kind of, you obviously know you have the soft skills, they're transferable, but then unlocking them to help you on the business side and leaning into them.
Something I'm still working on. So I can work very well with people who are similar minded to me, but not everybody being similar minded is not a good thing in a business. Like, you need people to be different because everybody brings something different to the table. Some people, you need to let people, I had this fear of, you know, not being in control in the business, and I needed to just let people do their own job and trust them to do the job. I think that is something that I'm still learning and still coming, trying to be better at. I do think I get there eventually. I just have to make sure that the business stays in business long enough to get there.
That's the burden of leadership. And then, like, in the middle of all that, then, you know, like, you talk about confidence and we talk about the life, the work-life balance. You also mentioned that sport was still a part of your life and that you chose to keep playing, where maybe sometimes people will think, actually, I've got to sacrifice A to focus on B. But also then it sounds like you kind of found a way to maybe spread it out or switch. You found a way to make that work, in the sense of sport becoming a positive outlet and an escapism then, rather than maybe, and correct me if I'm wrong here, previous times where that was your purpose or your real outlet or focus. So talk to us a little bit about that.
I'm very lucky because my camogie club at home is very close and very social. But we're also quite competitive in that we still compete for our championship every year. So I was able to still have that drive and focus for the camogie and to get the challenge out of it. And it was competitive enough that whenever I was there, I was able to switch off and be there. Along the way, after I finished playing for Down, I wanted to be able to still play for Clonduff because it was so important to me. My club is very, very important to me, and the girls themselves, we're a very, very close bunch, and it doesn't matter really what age you are. You could be 18 or you could be 40, but we all get on very well. So I was lucky I had that there. I'm not sure if that answers your question well enough, but I still had the drive and focus on the competitive nature of camogie in my club, that whenever I was able to step away from the business, you know, I was still being pushed there. You know, we were still competing at championships and Ulster championships, so, you know, I was able to just switch off and just go for it.
Yeah, I think that's kind of, like, as I'm listening to you there, like, say when it comes to burnout or work-life balance, again, like, sometimes people will feel the need to like cut things away because I've got to go all in on this one thing. But also, and listen, that can work for some people and it does work at times, but also there's another way in terms of having different pods or different pillars in your life that you can lean into for an hour or two during the week. And as you said, I think you mentioned outlet there a couple of times, or having that space. Within all that, Fionnuala, like, and obviously we'll come to kind of an overview of your camogie career in a moment, but like, you had a career span in, at senior level, like over 2 decades, and like, you've been such a, like, an incredible servant about your club and your county, and had lots of highs and lows along the way. But as all that's going on, and I know you became a mom in the middle of it all, like, as all that's going on, do you have to change your perspective of kind of sport, or how you see it, or how you see yourself as an athlete in the middle of all that while you're juggling it?
I do, but I also think that came with the age as well, because I did play for a long time, and I only really got success towards the latter end of my career, especially for Down. So my perspective changed completely whenever I had Finn, and he just became like, they literally handed a baby in the hospital and go, here you go. Keep it alive. So, like, my perspective completely changed, and he became the most important thing to me. And then as he got older and, you know, he started to get his own wee personality, I want to work hard to give him a future and to work so that I provide for my family. And, you know, whenever I did leave Panda, Derek had a good job that he was able to support us. You know, my savings went down to next level, and I didn't take a salary out of the business for a year, but that was okay with me because I had the savings and I also believed in the business. But then when Finn came along, if that had been now, I don't know if I would have stuck it out for as long as I did with the no salary, because I wanted to be able to provide for him, and I'm independent enough that I didn't want to rely on Derek as well. So my perspective has changed in that Finn is most important. The business is very important. Family is hugely important, and camogie is also important, but I have my priorities, and they're listed out in priority. And I think once you keep that perspective, then you won't go too far wrong.
Yeah, I think it's such a great way of looking at it, and again, acknowledging that there are different pods there. But then it also sounds like on the business side too, you see that as an opportunity to down the line be able to say to Finn, like, you know, that, like, to build that, you've done, like, you did this, or you built this, or that's something that you worked hard at, and that there was tough days at, as you said, worked for a year with no salary, for example. Is that part of your thinking in the back end of, like, of all this?
I want to be able to show him a good work ethic, and to teach him a bit of, you know, persistence and perseverance and resilience. You get that in bucket loads in sport. I want to be able to show him that success is available if you work hard enough and get it. I also, this might sound a bit mad, but I also want to show him a female working hard, or, you know, there is that element too, that, you know, mommy was out and she worked hard, and, you know, she was good at what she did, and she ran a business, and hopefully it works. There's no guarantees in life, but hopefully it works. So there is a bit of the female element in that as well. So I hope he listens to this someday.
I hope he does too. We'll take every listen we can get. With that, Fionnuala, and you mentioned the show, like, the perseverance and resilience there, and it comes in buckets in sports. And if it's all right with you, like, to take a kind of moment to kind of reflect on that window of, I know you're still at it with the club, but when you look back in terms of your stint with Down, and obviously I know Down GA and your family are quite synonymous as well. Like, how do you look back on the times you had in the Down colours? Now that maybe you're a little bit, you know, you can kind of look at it in the rearview mirror rather than just being fresh out of it.
I just, I'm so grateful. And that is a big thing since Finn came along. I've started to really appreciate what I've got. I go to bed every night, and as, like, people might think this sounds cheesy or if it's just words, but I go to bed every night genuinely grateful, and I say thank you for Derek, for Finn, for my own family, and for the opportunity that I have in Marvel. I know that not everybody's as lucky as I am, and I think that's, again, back to perspective and that knowing what is most important. Finn and family are always most important. I look back on my career for Down and I started to just appreciate it. I played for so long. Not everybody gets the opportunity to play for so long, but I also happened to finish playing Camogie for Down, captaining an All-Ireland winning team. Mm-hmm. And like that really doesn't happen a lot in sport. You don't, and not a lot of people get to finish on the real high notes. And I just was so grateful for it. I really enjoyed it, particularly in the last couple of years. And I think when you're younger, you sort of take it for granted and you just keep going because you think it's always going to be there. I was so grateful for still competing at that level and the girls that I played with. And the last few years, you know, 2018, we got to an All-Ireland final. Nobody really knows how. Like we didn't train as hard as we should have, but we ended up in an All-Ireland final. So it gives you a bit of incentive to go back again. We got to an All-Ireland semi-final and then got beat by Westmeath, so you have a wee bit of incentive to go back and prove a point. But the next thing you know, you're 36 years of age and you're, you know, can I still do this? So got back, won the All-Ireland and, you know, had Derek there as manager and my family all watching from home. And it was just something that I'm so grateful for it because it has taught me so much. Like we had so many disappointments along the way and we had so many near misses and almost had got there, never got there, got there and then didn't win or didn't get over the line and got injuries, got like quite not career threatening injuries, but you know, annoying enough injuries that you have to take a couple of months out of the game, broken ankles, medial ligaments and knees and broken thumbs. And that teaches you a lot about if you want to get back playing, you have to get back, you have to do your rehab. So you have to do all the things off the field that nobody sees you doing and you have to keep yourself going because nobody else is going to keep you going. And I think that's also helped me a lot in the business in that so much of the work that I do is unseen because I do it from home in Uri. But I can't afford not to work because now I have Finn support and now I have, you know, proper adult responsibilities that, you know, 10 years ago here, you're just like, nah, that's fine, sure. We'll just go on and we try this business and it'll be okay. And yeah. Whereas now it's like, we need to work hard. We have an opportunity here. Let's make the most of it. So I go to bed every night grateful for what I have. And I think once I keep that in the back of my head, then I'll always be okay.
And within that, like, changing of priorities that happened through, like, evolution, and I know you've acknowledged the gratitude you had for the time you have and finishing on a high like that in terms of winning an All-Ireland and being a captain, was it still hard to let that strand of your athletic identity or sporting identity go? Was that still challenging, or were you more, by the time it came around, were you comfortable to kind of move on to the next chapter of your life?
No, I was quite comfortable because age, I'd given so much time to it. I'd enjoyed it. I'd gotten success, but not everything lasts forever. And then it's not that I was ready to stop playing for Camogie for Down. It's just that I was more at peace knowing that I had got the absolute most out of it. I had got a couple of injuries like that kept, you know, happening. Calf tears. And I did 3 different tears in 1 calf in 1 year. So I knew my time was up. I knew I'd gotten a lot out of it. And I was more than happy to just go back to supporting Down as a supporter.
And then obviously, like, leaving that chapter behind, I know you touched upon it earlier, but just to kind of acknowledge it again, Fionnuala, of like kind of knowing that you had your club there in terms of being, I suppose, to give you similar things, but also in a way, or in a place you can do it more on your terms. Would that be right to say? Like, so it was kind of a safe landing spot as you stepped away from the inter-county game?
I would say it was probably a safe space in knowing that I still had it to go back to, but also wanting to be able to go back to it and give it good commitment and a good proper playing years, because I played for Down for so long. And the thing about female sport is that there's a lot more conflict in between the county and the club, and that you feel that you, especially in the early years, that you felt that you had to train for both. Like I remember we would have trained at the club in the morning and then ran on to county training or vice versa and trained twice, two full sessions in the one day. That would be nuts now. Mm-hmm. But you had this sort of tug on your emotional side of things, and that, you know, if you didn't do it, you preferred one over the other, or you were letting the other ones down. And then I just wanted to be able to still play for Clonduff and to keep active, because if I didn't keep active, I'd be the size of a house. I needed to stay fit and healthy, and it's a good way to keep the exercise up.
Definitely. And then, I know, linking it back to business and work-life balance as well, having that social outlet and having that, as you said, it's exercise or and a safe space to be and to kind of to go in and just blend into a group, rather than if you're in work and you're kind of, it's all, stuff's on your shoulders, you know what I mean? Or if you're in the house, there's a good chunk of the pressure's coming on your shoulders there, I'm sure. If Finn kicks off in the background right now, you'll have to go running. So
I can hear the dog trying to break down the door downstairs to get in.
No, they've both been good for the last 40 minutes or so. And it just kind of, as I kind of bridge towards the end of this, Fionnuala, and then I know you mentioned there that kind of, say, training with the club and training with the county on the same day. And often in female sports, like, the burden of responsibility or decision making kept falling back on the player, and in some ways still is. And I just kind of, based on your experiences and the huge bank of experience you had both with club and with county, like, just kind of what you make of what's going on at the moment in terms of the GPA and the female players playing under protest, kind of what you think as you look on, and kind of what your hopes are for what happens in that regard.
I just hope that the female players are given the opportunity to showcase on equal terms. And female players aren't asking for Rolls Royce service. They're not at all. Like, they're just asking for certain standards to be met, that they're treated as equal human beings as their male counterparts. I think that females are also their own worst enemy, and that we put up with it for too long without questioning. Like, it took a very brave step by Aoife Lane to even set up the women's GPA. And she did it because, you know, Kate Kelly was like a triple All-Ireland winner in Wexford. And she was walking around, and, you know, people didn't really know Kate, or, not that they didn't know her, excuse me, that's wrong to say, but they didn't appreciate her in the same way that they might have appreciated a hurler who had no All-Ireland medals. And I think it's going to take baby steps. Like, I don't think it's going to happen overnight. And I know that there's still talks ongoing about a one association, but in order to do that, people have to at least be willing to communicate. And I know that there's not a lot of communication at the top level in order for that to happen. The players themselves have taken a brave stand in that they're making a protest, but they're also showing their love for their game and their respect for the game, and that they're continuing to play the game. I think females also need to start supporting females. You know, it's still too easy for a lot of people to just go to men's game because, you know, it's the way it's always been done. I think we need to start supporting our own, you know, and having more people engaged and appreciating it and just giving it a level playing field. Like, we're starting to see it in some regard, for you're seeing more games on TV and on national TV, RTE, and we have the streaming services now, and we're able to show the games. Like, if you watched Coit Devan's goal at the weekend, you know, Peter Duggan tried the exact same thing in the Clare and Kilkenny game. It just happened to be saved, this one. If he had got the goal, I know that Peter Duggan would have been all over the back pages in Irish Sport on Monday. He would have been. Whereas Coit Devan had the exact same strike, and she rattled it into the back of the net. And, you know, I don't think that I've even read about it in any of the papers, really, or it's been given that much coverage. I think we need to continue to push for equal standards, but we also have to start supporting ourselves, and until we support ourselves and really put the pressure on. And that means also you know, our brothers and our male family members supporting ourselves and the friends supporting ourselves, and going to the games, like actually physically being at the games is so important. I just hope that the associations themselves start to realise that the world is different now to what it was 10 years ago, and that the people at the top levels and the people in the executives, and even I know in Down GAA, you know, Down GAA is a footballing county and they pay a bit of respect and lip service to the girls, but they don't pay enough of it. And I think until we start to see a change at the top level, I think we'll still be fighting the battle and to making things happen.
Yeah, I like, and as I listen to you there, I suppose one of the big differences now is that, like, obviously it started with the WGPA and that's fully merged into the GPA, where both organisations came together. It's one organisation, prioritises equality. Like, the Players' Voice series is done in collaboration with the Gaelic Players Association. And, like, I think one of the big differences, Fionnuala, is, and we've had multiple players on recent weeks, you know, I've talked to Cora Staunton, I've talked to Chloe Morey, Gemma Begley was on, that there's actually a collective voice now pushing forward, rather than, you know, sometimes it was teams fighting their own corner with their own county board. And even going back to what I said earlier, like the responsibility falling on players, like this is trying to, there seems a very large sense of collective will and commitment to making that, I suppose, making the norm better and not having to push and fight for the basics. And I know lots of stuff, good stuff has been going on. We'll keep having the conversations here. I know people like yourself, your voice, your experiences can lend to that and add to that. But I suppose kind of as a wrap up, like, are you hopeful for a positive solution and positive development in the shorter term, rather than maybe the 5-year window, which seems to have been bandied around a little bit?
I'm hopeful because whenever the women's GPA and the GPA merged, that was a big step, particularly for the boys. It was a big step for the girls because I never seen myself any really different from any of my brothers. I was never treated any different at home. But it was a big thing for the boys to recognise us on an exactly level playing field. And, you know, there was a fear or a concern that they might have to give up some of what they had, or they might miss out on some stuff. But, and it transpired that they didn't, but there was that fear that it might happen, and they were still prepared to do it or willing to do it. That took huge leadership from the GPA and those involved with the GPA at the time, like Paul Flynn's involved and Kieran Barr, and those type of people were very open to the conversation. And not only were they open to the conversation, but this conversation needs to happen, and this is, you know, we want this, you're the same as us. And that took a lot of leadership. And I think, am I hopeful for the associations? I'm not as hopeful for the associations to get together in the short term as maybe I would like to be. But I am very hopeful because it's a new generation and there's new players. The females have found their voice. They have support in their male counterparts. And I don't think that is going to go away. So, you know, I'm very hopeful for what that will bring. I just hope it brings it sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I think that's a good note to end on, Fionnuala. I want to just thank you for sharing your voice and your experience with us both on and off the field today. Obviously, want to wish you the very best of luck in this current and next chapter of your life, both in business sense, but also in family and as you continue to play with your club. And I said, yeah, I better let you go here before, so you can go and give that dog the attention it's looking for downstairs.
I'm going to have no back door left.
I just want to say again, Fionnuala, thank you. I know you've taken time out of your busy schedule there. I know you've got your child's asleep, dogs downstairs. So thank you for joining us. I really appreciate your insights and perspective. And I know there's players listening, both current, past and future intercounty players that are listening to this series. And I know your experiences and your insights will help them on whatever part of the journey and whatever their journey's taken them. So thank you very much for being with us today.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. Thank you very much for asking me as well. I really did enjoy it.
Thanks for listening to the latest episode of The Player's Voice. You can find all our previous episodes with leading Intercounty GA players like Patrick Horgan, Cora Staunton, Dan Morrissey and Aisling Maher by searching The Player's Voice on whichever podcast platform you prefer. And while there, you would really be helping us out if you rated or reviewed the show. Before I go, I just want to remind you that The Player's Voice is brought to you by the Gaelic Players Association in collaboration with Real Talks. The podcast series is part of Bio 360, a GPA programme that empowers intercounty players across four key areas: life skills, well-being, dual career and transitions. Please go to bio360.gaelicplayers.com to learn more. My name is Alan O'Mara, and to find out more about my work as a performance and well-being consultant with sports and business leaders around the world, please check out realtalks.ie. Thanks for listening.